Well, we've been working through our series of Matthew, and we started back in Christmas. We're working all the way to Easter, and we are getting close. We are in a section of Matthew, our last series, which is called, Let Me Illustrate, Let me illustrate forgiveness, is what we talked about last week. Let me illustrate the reward. This week, that's what we're going to be talking about. And the way Jesus illustrated things, he used these little stories called parables. Now, he illustrated through his life. We're going to be talking about that later in this series. But last week and this week, we're talking about parables that Jesus used. Stories where he'd tell a story, but it had a deeper meaning. It had a purpose. It had something that we were supposed to draw out from it, something that we were supposed to get from it. And so we're going to have some fun looking at a couple parables this morning. If you would, go on and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20 and keep me honest, all right? Because I'm not going to, my Bible will be open later, but it's not right now because we're going to have to fly. Because when you have fun, sometimes it's easy just to have fun, just sit back. We kind of sat back in the seat a little bit last service. So anyway, we're going to look at the first parable. The first parable is a parable of the vineyard owner. Or is that how it's worded there? Parable of the workers in the vineyard. All right, my focus is on the owner. Focus parable on the workers. We'll be focusing on both of them. So we've got the vineyard owner is how the story starts. And we've got, we'll throw a hat on him because he's a vineyard, you know, like cowboy hat, working hat out in the field. I know my grandma used to, she lived on a farm, and she always had these hats with these big old brims on them, protect you from the sun. So that's what we gave him. And he decided that early in the morning that he was going to go out. That's not thick enough. There we go. He's got a wad of cash in his hand. All right. All right. And he's going to go out and he's going to hire some workers to work in his vineyard. We need a vineyard, don't we? Here, let's a little vineyard, and we'll draw some vines. There we go. And put some little leaves on here, but they're not so great because they need some work because he's in need of workers. So, and we'll have one grape. Okay. So, yeah, that'll work. Just one grape. That works. It's a big grape, though. It's a nice grape. So the vineyard owner, he's going to go out and hire this guy. And so he goes out in the first hour, and I've got to describe to you something. That's first hour. In Jewish time, and on the Jewish clock, we think of the first hour, we're like, well, when was that? When was the first hour? The Jewish clock worked on sunrise to sunset. That's how they started their day. I mean, they didn't have, you know, swatches. Remember those little, remember how many 80s children in here remember the swatches? Okay. They started at sunrise, and that was first hour, second hour. So first hour would have been around 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, somewhere around that area. So we're gonna say they slept in a little bit at 7 o'clock. All right, so first hour, he goes out at 7 o'clock to ask some guys to work for denarius. And for us, we're thinking, what's a denarius? You know, we talked about this last week. We brought up the figure denarius. A denarius is a common amount for a daily compensation for a day's worth of work. A denarius would be equal to one day's worth of work. Now, for us, that still really doesn't connect. We're still like, oh, yeah, okay, denarius, what do you do? Okay, let's do some math here. Math majors? Got some good math people in here? All right, keep up with me. Keep up with me. We got, let's go with a low number. Say 35,000 is the average. I think that's real close. It might be a little on the low side, but 35,000 is the average income for this area. So we say 35,000, and we're going to divide that by 52. That's a lot of division. So we got 35, 1, 2, 3 zeros, and 5, 2. We got that's, there's a, okay, big decimal point there, 673.076. So that would be an 8 round up. So $673.08 a week. Check me on that. We're good? Okay. So then you take that and you say, well, some people work 5 days a week, which I don't know how you do that, but you work 5 days a week. And if we divide that up by five, then we come up with 100 and, so it's 30, 460, carry the four, drop the five, scratch out the nine. Okay, 62. $134.62 a day if you work 5 days a week. Now, if you work 6 days a week, we divide this number by six. So 6 days a week, you got 100 and, Oops, I was jumping ahead of myself there. $112.18. Does that sound right? Yeah. 6 days. So $35,000, when you break that down to a daily wage, we got somewhere in between 134.62 and 112.18. So about 125 bucks. Fair? Okay. I just want you guys to follow me. This needs to illustrate to us. Let me illustrate. So, $125. So he's got $125 here, and he says, I'm going to offer you $125 to come and work in my vineyard for one day. That sounds fair. Most of us, we'd be like, okay, yeah, I can do that. $125, a little extra cash. It's all right. These guys aren't working. Some work is better than no work. $125 is better than no dollars. So then what he does is he goes out, and he hires other guys. He goes out, it says the third hour, and the sixth hour, and the ninth hour, and he does the same thing. So the third hour would have been about 9 o'clock. The sixth hour was noon, so he goes out at lunch and finds some guys that are still hanging out. And he goes to these guys, all three of these guys here, and ninth hour would have been about 3 p.m. our time, around there, 3, 2. And he goes to these guys and he says, hey, I'd like to hire you to come and work in my vineyard, and I'll give you what is right. What he tells these guys. Come to my vineyard, I'll give you what is right. So these guys are just hanging out at the marketplace, and he brings them in and says, hey, you want some job? You want a job? You want to work? Come on in, I'll give you what's right. So that's what they agreed to. Now, he goes out again, it tells us in the story. He goes out in the 11th hour, which is an hour away from quitting time. So we're saying, 5 o'clock, if we start at 6, it would have been 4 o'clock. So we're an hour away from quitting time. If quitting time was at 6, we're at 5 according to the clocks I'm drawing up there. So we got these guys, they come in and they only work 1 hour. And these are like, these are the dregs. I mean, these guys, he walks up to them and says, hey, why aren't you guys working? Oh, don't know. No, you haven't been looking for work? Do you need work? Would you like? Oh, I guess so. Okay? He says, no, because no one's hired them. That's the reason why I kind of get that view. He says, why aren't you working? Well, no one's hired us. Okay, so maybe they're not very hireable. So I'm thinking they're kind of low on the totem pole. He brings them in anyway, and these guys, they work for an hour. Now, what the farmer does, the vineyard owner, he calls his foreman in, and he says, hey, it's pay time. I want to pay all these guys. So he starts down here at the bottom. He says, I want you to pay the guys that came in last. I want you to pay them first. And this is where the first shall be last. You've heard that before? Here's one of the places where it shows up. The first will be last, the last will be first. So he says, I want to pay the ones that were last first. Okay, so he goes up, and the foreman pays this guy $125 for 1 hour. How many of you guys would work 1 hour for $125? Booyah. That's what I'm saying. I would do that. These guys are lucky guys. They come in, $125, they only worked 1 hour. That's good news. Now, If you're like me, and I'm like these guys here at the top that would have been thinking, okay, those guys worked 1 hour. He must have changed his hourly rate on us. I'd be thinking that. They were thinking that in the parable. They were thinking, ooh, that means we get more. We get more for us. We get more. And so they're thinking, $125, and we worked, 11 hours? That's, if they worked, okay, so I don't know if this math is completely right, but I worked it out first service. 1375. So they're expecting $1,375. That would be a nice paycheck for one day. Yeah. So they're getting all excited. But as he starts paying these guys, he starts paying them $125. And these guys, they don't get $1,300. Sorry, dude, I just made him a little shorter. I chopped a couple inches off our vineyard owner. My apologies, God. These guys get $125 for working the whole day. All day long. And they get paid the same that these guys get paid. And these guys, they're bent out of shape. They're they're confused, they're upset, they're grumbling, they're complaining, they're saying, what is the deal with this? These guys only worked an hour. And I'm a top worker. I've been working all day long. I was in the hot seat. In fact, let's read that. Let's read what they have to say. Oops. Matthew chapter 20. I find it in my book too. Matthew chapter 20, verse 11. It says, when they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you made them equal to us who had borne the burden of the work in the heat of the day. I mean, these guys come in while the sun is setting. The guys that worked all day, they were out there through the sun rising, through the sun sitting overhead, and the sun setting. But he answered one of them, friend. That's a really interesting word in the Greek, because it's kind of, it can come at you both ways. It's kind of like a friend, and it's also like a friend, okay? So it's kind of neat. We can't get both, you know, emphasis, but from what I understand the Greek does there. It says, friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Didn't you agree to work for $125? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. I want you guys, if you guys mark in your Bibles, if you do anything like that, take a little pencil or pen and underline the word want in that sentence. I want to give to this guy the same thing that I gave to you. We get a chance to see a little piece of the heart of God. I want. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first and the first will be last. Second story, and then we'll get to unpacking these stories. Choose a red marker. I think that worked all right. All right, the second story starts off with another main character. He looks very similar to the first one. And instead of a cowboy hat, instead of a worker hat, he's got a crown on his head. He is a king. He's got some bling bling, some little jewels and rubies, and oh, he's shining. He's happy. It's good to be king. All right, so he's the king. Well, we need some arms on him, don't we? There's some arms. We'll put a little scepter in his hand. So he needs some Oompa Loompas now, don't he? He looks like Willy Wonka with a crown on. So anyway, he's got his little thing. And this guy, he's got a son. All right? And his son is a happy little guy. And do you know why he's happy? I mean, he's excited because, oh, he's in love. Everybody go, oh. And he's in love with this little chick over here, and she's pretty happy, and she's all a little bashful, and she's got her little hands holding out. She's holding a big old flower that he gave him he gave to her, and she's happy. Because he just loves her. You love him, and you give him flowers, you give him gifts, and eventually what you do is you get married when you love somebody. And so the son decides that he's going to get married to this girl that he loves. So, oh. Okay, and so the king says, that's awesome. I'm going to throw you a huge party. We're going to have a great time. And so what the king does is he sends out these invitations. And they got little hearts as a little sticker on the when you fold the envelope over, and they got little, oh. Okay, see, this should have been Valentine's Day, shouldn't it? And he sends out these invitations. Whoop, whoop. He sends out these invitations to different guys. I've got this guy sitting here. We'll make him expressionless because we don't know much about him yet. Sends out an invitation. Then what he does is once the banquet is ready, once it's ready, he sends out servants. La-da, to herald. Wow, he's got a big mouth. Anyway, so good news though, because he's a herald. He needs a big mouth. So he goes out and he says, hey, the wedding banquet is ready. Come on in. So this guy got an invitation, and then he got a full verbal invitation coming to him and said, hey, it's today. It's ready. We sent the invitation out to you. Why don't you come and join us? We're going to have a great time. The father wants to honor the son. That's a key part. He wants to honor the son by giving him this big party, by giving him this big banquet. And this guy, he's too cool. I mean, he's got some John Lennon glasses on here. You know, I'm too cool. Of course, John Lennon's Imagining Days Are Over. There is a heaven. Anyway, so, and he's too cool for it. I mean, that's not hair, that's steam, because he's so hot. Okay? He thinks that, and he's like, man, I don't need to come to your party. I'm not going. Don't even worry about it. I'm not going. So then he sends out some other servants to go and talk to other people that had received the invitation. And he wants to tell them, he said, look, we got a party. You don't understand what's happening here. He said, I killed the fatted calf. All right. Ears. Whoop. Looks more like a horse. I'm better at drawing people. So there's the fatted calf. He's dead if you can't tell. He killed him. And he stuck him on a stick. We got a rotisserie calf here. All right, got the fire going. I want mine medium rare. Pull it off a little early. Amen? All right, so he's got the fatted calf. And he went out and he hired a DJ. 2 turntables and a microphone. And he's sitting up here. And he's wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. You guys can see it. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. So that's the DJ. And he's kind of cool. We'll put a pimped out hat on him. Little sunglasses, except he's got cool sunglasses. He's not like John Lennon down there, Mr. Ignorant. So he's up here. He's got the pimp hat and the sunglasses. Wiggle, wiggle. All right. So he's producing the tunes. And we got little tunes floating in the air just to let you know there's music going on. And he says, tell them how awesome it's going to be. I sent the invitation. And I want you to tell these guys. See this guy? He said, nuh-uh, not going to go. Forgot to mark that out. And so he goes to these other guys. And this guy's like, well, dude, I would, but... Here, I'll put a shovel in his hand. All right, that's sort of like a shovel. But I got to go tend to my fields. That's why he's got a shovel, because he's going to go tend to his fields. So I would go, but I got some work to do. I got to go tend to my fields. And he goes to another guy, and this guy's got a briefcase. That's a briefcase. He's got a briefcase in his hand. He's like, no, I got to tend to my business. I got to go to a big city and do my business here. So we got going to the country. You got city boy, country boy, both of them saying, nah, not going to do it. That's not going to go. Then he sends more guys. All right. He sends more servants to other guys that had already received the invitation. And these guys are a mess. And you wouldn't have thought that they were a mess. But this guy, we're giving him a pimped out hat too. And some sunglasses, because he's just too cool too. But he's not a pimped out. This guy's a good pimped out guy. Okay, this guy's not. Look what happens in this part of the story. This guy, he pulls out a Glock. All right, and he plays Mafia Wars, but it's real life. And that guy who was pretty happy little servant, he's gone. X's for I's. Shoots him. He comes and says, hey, there's a great wedding. He's gone. So I read the parable. It's in there. So he shoots him. Now, this doesn't go over very well with the king, because the king gets word of this. And the king's king. See, this isn't just a good friend that's saying, hey, come on, come to my party. I want you to honor my son. This is the king that's saying, come honor my son at this party. And if the king's throwing a party, it's going to be a good party. This guy... I mean, he's from the city, of course. You know, we got it. So we draw his little city here, little city windows, and he's down there. And he's got his little pimped out life there, and his little girls that he goes and runs with, and all that. So the king gets angry. We're told in the story, and he sends his army. And so he sends. See if I can do this right. I got to slow down for this one. I didn't do a good representation first service. He sends an army, and he sends a B-52 bomber, and annihilates it. And we got the smoke and the rubble, and then whoop, we got the... And pimp guys out, pimp girls are out, pimp grandfathers out. Everybody's, he destroys the whole city. Gone, annihilated. He feels better now. So then he sends out more servants with invitations to people who had not yet received the invitation. And he's actually got the invitation in his hand. A little heart on it. Aww. And he sends this invitation out to the bums. All right, remember when the hobos used to carry those bags? It's kind of funny, a stick man carrying a stick. It's like he's carrying one of his own that doesn't have any arms or legs and tied a bag to him. It's just kind of wrong. So they send to the hobos, and they send them out to those that are standing on the street corners with the signs. You know, it says, I will work for Starburst. All right. And he says, hey, you guys are invited too. This guy doesn't have a face. You guys are invited. These guys, they don't deserve to come. They turned me down. I guess that was kind of implied when he shot the servant. You guys are invited now. You guys, come on up and rock the cash ball, all right? Cherie don't like it. But that's all right, because Cherie died over here. Cherie was the pimp guy's girlfriend. So you guys need to go back and listen to the 80s channel a little bit. Rock the cash ball, rock the cash ball. Cherie don't like it. See, that's where it came from. So you got all these guys, and I mean, they are partying hard. Let's add a couple more music notes here. We got a whole note. That's not a whole note. Here, there's a whole note. That's not a person. That's a whole note, because that's that bass when it hits. And they're having a party, and they're enjoying it, and they're loving it. And that's what I want to talk about today, is a reward. And today's really simple, if you haven't caught on yet. We're not diving deep this morning. Last week, we struggled through a tough subject, but this morning, it's really shallow. It's really simple. And the simplicity is, I want to remind you of how great the reward is that you've been given. Because all too often, we see ourselves in so many different pictures in these stories. And unfortunately, they're not the right pictures all the time. And we need a reminder every once in a while about the reward that we've been given, about the reward that God has made available to us. So I want to talk about the reward. The reward, under a standard definition, a reward is something given or received in return or recompense for service, merit, hardship, etc. You do something, you get it, you get a reward. You do something of merit, then you get an honor or a reward given to you. Now, our reward is slightly different. Our reward, the definition would be changed to something given or received in return or recompense for simply honoring the Son, honoring Jesus. That's how we get the reward. You honor Jesus Christ. You honor Him. That's it. It's that simple. It's not based on merit. It's based on a gracious God. Amen. It doesn't matter if you came in the 11th hour and you're a pitiful worker. Or if you've been working all your life in the church and you've been just, you know, knuckles. Just worn. It doesn't matter. We all get the same reward. It's not based on how good you are, or how much you work, or what you do, or how great you are, or what you can bring to the kingdom. It's based on the owner, and that's why I think my mind changes that. It's not about the vineyard workers, it's about the vineyard owner. And the gift that He's given to us. It's not based on merit, it's based on a gracious God. Everyone was invited to the wedding. Everyone. Rich, poor, good, bad. Read the parable. It even says good and bad showed up at the wedding banquet. And that's not just in heaven. Jesus brought the kingdom when He came. And when you give your life to Jesus Christ, when you become a Christian, when you say, I'm going to honor You, Jesus, with my life, you are in the kingdom, you are in the party, you have the reward. Amen? That's good news. We act like we're not there yet. We think, well, I'll get to heaven. I'll join Gabby, who went up a week ago Thursday. And we'll join Sister Flo, who went a week ago Friday. We'll join so-and-so and so-and-so, who left this past week to go and be in heaven. But I don't think a lot of us think about it in the terms that we're here now. We're in the kingdom. We're in the party. We're part of the kingdom. We've got the reward, or at least a part of it now. We will see it in its fullness when we get to heaven. But what we've got now, we are in the kingdom. The reward is both the result of honoring Jesus and the venue provided to honor Jesus with. Now, that might sound a little confusing. The only way you get here is to honor Jesus. This venue, the party, the king made to honor the son. Okay? So, in order to honor the son, you have to be at the party. But in order to be at the party, you have to honor the son. Are you following me? You tracking with me? This reminds me of a story. When Jesse and I first got married, we got married in Kentucky. I lived in North Carolina. I had a car that was in my parents' name. My insurance was through their insurance, as you know, you are as a young man. You stay on their insurance and you ride that as long as you can until you can get off on your own. And so I was on through that, and my insurance was through my parents, and the car's title and everything was in my parents' name. They wanted to transfer it to me. But there wasn't any kind of, you know, buying and selling things. They wanted to transfer it to me. So I went to the title agency, the tags and all that, the title agency, the government area, the local. I went in and I went to the desk and I said, hey, I need to get some tags for this car. My parents are, you know, giving to them or transferring it over to my name. I need you to help me out with this. They said, we can't do that without insurance on the car. It's illegal. You can't have a car without insurance. I was like, oh. So I went to the insurance company and I said, hey, I need to get insurance on this car so that they can give me tags and it can be in my name. And guess what they said? Yeah, they said, you don't have a car to insure. So I went back over here and we went back and forth. Remember that? We went back and it was a headache and we didn't know how in the world we were going to get this car switched over. Finally, I think the insurance caved because they're the ones that were going to be getting our money. And they knew that somebody would cave somewhere along the line, they would get our money. The government, I mean, they weren't going to get, you know, $50 a year for plates or whatever. But that kind of conundrum, that how do you get in that circle? I mean, if the only way into the venue is to honor the son, but the venue is the only way you can honor the son, how do you get in there? Well, God made it so easy. You just honor the son. And you just slide right in. Honor the son. Let's look at God's side real quick. In these stories, we get a chance to see the heart of God. We get a chance to see God. And God is a king. God is a landowner. God is someone that owns just massive amounts of property, massive amounts of resources, and a king who rules in a good way. See, we see in these stories that God acts first. God offers the reward. In both of these stories, he says, hey, I've got a reward for you. These guys don't come to him and say, hey, we'll work for you for $125. The king or the owner, the vineyard owner, goes to them early in the morning, goes out looking. He acts first and gives a reward. He says, here's your reward if you come in and join me. If you come and do what I need you to do, here's your reward. Here. These guys don't come to him and say, hey, we heard your son's having a party. Can we come to the party? No. The king goes to them, says, hey, I'm having a party to honor my son. I want you to be there. God acts first. God wants you to have this reward. I want us to be reminded of that. That's why I want you to underline that word there. I think we forget about that. This is super simple. But I think we forget, God wants you to have heaven. God wants you to be in the kingdom. God wants you to have the security of being secure in your faith with his son. God wants you to honor his son. God wants you to have a great life. God wants you to have joy. He wants that to get this. He wanted to pay these guys. It says it. He said, I wanted to pay this guy as much as I paid you. He wanted to pay this guy. That's why he went out and hired him. The king wanted these guys to come. That's why he was so hurt that these guys were turning him down. He wants you to receive the reward. He wants you to have this reward. The reward was planned out ahead of time. We talked about this before. This wasn't, this guy, the vineyard owner, he said, okay, a denarius is a day's worth of work. I'm going to go out and I'm going to offer him a denarius. It was planned out. The reward was planned out ahead of time. Here at the wedding banquet, a little more preparation in the story that we see. He sends out invitations. He gets things ready. He kills a fatted calf. The DJ thing I added, you know, but could have happened. Modern day. All right. So it's all prepared and it's planned for ahead of time. And the reward is attached to a clear agreement. It's very clear. He made it very clear to this poor guy. Hey, I said, here's your reward if you work for me this day. That was a clear agreement. There was no, you know, there's no negotiations involved. There was nothing. It was, here's what I'm going to give you. That's it. It's clear. Wedding banquet. Here's what I got. I got a wedding banquet. The purpose of the banquet is clear. It's to honor the son. My son's getting married. I want you there. A clear agreement. God honors the son. This is what really gets me. God honors the son by giving us the reward. I like that. God doesn't only ask us to honor the son, but he honors the son himself. And the way he honors the son is to give us the reward so that we can honor the son too. Honor the son. Now let's take a look at my side. I think we need to ask a question. This sounds great to me. Does it sound great to you? Yes? You come in, we're invited to a wedding banquet. I think that's awesome. We get a chance to work for a very fair employer that has tons of resources. I think our countenance would be a little different if we really understood the reward that we do have. I don't think we get it. I think we're missing it. To prepare us for this next little section here, we're going to do a little camp song. You guys like camp songs? All right. And I got to tell a little story to get us started in this camp song. Okay, that's not the camp song. Anyway, get some of you guys, we're all pumped up. I'm hearing it in my head. So, me and the guys that I used to play with, a lot of you guys know that I used to play in a Christian rock band, and we were good friends. And so the three of us took our wives to the Columbus Zoo one day for just a day out, just friends, you know, not musically related. And we got into the petting zoo part of the Columbus Zoo, and I'm going to regret telling you guys this because I'm sure this will haunt me. Goats freak me out. They just do. They look weird. They got them googly little eyes that look like them, like, button eyes that you put on a teddy bear. They don't look like they're attached. I mean, they're just there, and they freak me out. They're weird-looking animals. And so we're there, and we're in the petting zoo area, and we're inside the barn, which, you know, I'm keeping track, goat here, goat. I'm fine with the sheep and all the other animals that were running around. But the goats, they freak. And it might be the 80s albums. Remember in the 80s, they used to have the goats. They always were on the satanic albums. And I was like, you know, anyway. So little did we know. And the guys, I hate it for them, because if they would have known this and they would have planned it, they probably would have enjoyed it that much more. But it became feeding time while we were right there in the center of the barn. So all the workers come out with these big bowls of food, and here comes the herd of goats. Goats are coming from every direction. I mean, everywhere. And I'm thinking, okay, if this is how you get over fears, it's not working. I'm thinking, these guys are freaking me out. Give me a horse. Give me a cow. I don't mind. I pet a dolphin at SeaWorld. These goats are freaking me out. And so I'm backing up into a corner. I think I'm safe. There's a loft. And there's a goat on the loft. And his head comes down. And he grabbed my shirt. And I'm embarrassed to say so, but I screamed like a girl. And I jumped, and all the rest of the goats are like, what's up with you, dude? All right, that has absolutely nothing to do with the song. I just thought it was kind of funny. Actually, what it does, in that environment, in that setting, we learned something about sheep. I always thought that sheep went, baa. They don't. Yeah. A sheep's tongue comes across the roof of their mouth and out their mouth when they bleed. So it'd be spelled more like this. Bah. You got to throw the L in. Come on, do that with me. Let's be silly. Go, bah. All right, that's going to be great because you're going to need to do that in a song. Song goes like this. Says, I just want to be a sheep. Blah, blah, blah. Can you do that? Do that with me. I got to hear you. first service, man, they were singing it out. They loved it. I just want to be a sheep, blah, blah, blah. I just want to be a sheep, blah, blah, blah. And praise the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, blah, blah, blah. Here's the fun part. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Because they're not hip with it. That's bad, isn't it? I don't want to be a hypocrite. I just want to be a sheep, blah, blah, blah. I just want to be a sheep, blah, blah, blah. Praise the Lord, my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to be a Pharisee. Because they're not fair, you see. Because they had all them laws and they made up all these things. You had to do this, do this, do this. That's just not fair. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I just want to be a sheep, blah, blah, blah. I just want to be a sheep, blah, blah, blah. Praise the Lord, my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to be a Sadducee. I don't want to be a Sadducee. Because they're so sad, you see. I don't want to be a sad, you see. I just want to be a sheep, blah, blah, blah. Let me hear it. I want a sheep, blah, blah. Praise the Lord, my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep. Give me a rock and roll sheep and go, blah. Good job. Give you guys a hand. Now, we got to have some fun every once in a while. I share that because the simplicity of what we're talking about, really, I hope that's our heart's desire. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I just want to be a sheep. I just want to follow Jesus. I just want to honor the Son. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to be a Sadducee. They made up rules and they grumbled about things. And in fact, this parable is one, it's the third of three parables that Jesus was sharing to refute the Pharisees, to talk about the Pharisees, say, this is you. You're a Pharisee. You're not getting it. You're not receiving the reward. And I think oftentimes, as much as we'd like to sing, I don't want to be a Pharisee, we are Pharisees. We are Sadducees. And it is sad, you see. We say we don't want to be a hypocrite, but when you claim to be one thing and you act another way or you feel another way, that's what you are. That's what it is. I think we're missing it. I think we miss the generosity of the reward because we're envious. I think we're a lot like these guys. And it takes the reward away from you. It takes the generosity of the reward away from you. Because you look at what other people get that God's blessed them with and you say, you know, I'm jealous of them. Why'd they get that? They're not that good of a Christian. I'm a better Christian than they are. God didn't answer my prayer that way. I've been there. I think we've all been there. And that steals the reward away from your heart. And you get a face that looks like that. And that's not the face of someone that understands that we have a reward from the king, from the vineyard owner. It keeps us from being generous. We hold on to the things that we've got. Because we don't think that God's going to bless us because he's out blessing other people. So I better hang on to what I got and we lose our generosity. The king is generous. The vineyard owner is generous. Our God is generous. God's people should be generous. And that's part of the reward. That's part of being in the reward. That's part of being at the party, being in the kingdom. I think we miss the joy of the reward because we're selfish. We're like these guys over here and we say, you know what? I'm just too cool. I'm too cool. Imagine all the people. Anyway, I don't need to go to that party. I don't need to go to this. I don't need to go to church. I got other things. I got other things going on. I need to go to work. I need to tend to my garden. I need to tend to my fields. I need to take care of some things. I can't go to, I have too much going on. I can't go to small group. I can't make God important. I can't, and that's where we are a lot of times because we're selfish. And you lose the things that could be great for you because you're trying to hang on to things that really aren't that great for you. And you lose the joy of the kingdom because you're selfish. We got to let go of those things. Sometimes it's better to be these guys because you ain't got nothing to hang on to. And when something's offered to you, you're excited about it. And you say, this is great. And you know, when you're selfish, you miss out on the ability to share in the joy of others when they receive things from God, when they receive the reward, when they receive pieces of what being in the kingdom is about. And you're like, oh yeah, that's great. Instead of, man, that's great. God is awesome. I'm glad he blessed you in that way. That's what the kingdom looks like. That's what I think we would look like if we really understood the reward that we get. We miss the point of the reward because we're prideful. Because we think we've got it figured out. We think we know what's best for our life. We think we know what we need. And we go running after those things. Just like pagans. We say, I believe God. I'm going to be a sheep. I'm going to follow him. And yet you run after all the things that you want and none of the things he wants for you. That's called being a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to be a Sadducee. I just want to be a sheep. I just want to simple down this morning and understand the reward that's been given. The scary part is, at the end of the parable of the wedding banquet, in verse 11 it says, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless, showing that he understood there was some sort of proper attire. Then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. I don't have time to argue about clothes in church. I should have worn overalls and a t-shirt. But because of the play, you probably would have just thought I was being a play. That passage has nothing to do with your clothes. It has everything to do with your heart. The story is a parable. The purpose of the banquet was to honor the son. And if he didn't come to the banquet prepared to honor the son, he didn't belong at the banquet. That's the scary part. So I think a lot of us who say, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to be a Sadducee. And we don't open our eyes and realize that we're in some of those spots on that board that we don't ever want to be on. And the scary part is that I might miss the reward if I don't honor Jesus with my life. I think, unfortunately, there are going to be a lot of people who call themselves Christians that are going to be in hell. I think there's going to be a lot of people in heaven that when we get there, we're going to be surprised they're there. Don't get so caught up in life and so confused that you miss the grand simplicity of your reward being a member of the kingdom of God. Of a vineyard owner that takes good care of you. Of a king that rules over you and gives you the opportunity to honor the Son. And the simplicity of your reward is completely based on your decision to honor the Son with your life. That is it. Honor the Son. And enjoy the reward.